We started today at 8:30. We recessed into executive session for one real estate matter. And so now we're reconvening our public work session. And I'd like to start with the flag salute. If you please stand and join me in the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Miller, maybe we should mention to maintenance folks that we've got a curtain that's falling down.
Oh, yeah.
Over there.
Yeah, it looks like John may have to.
Not personally, because
I was going to say.
Someone will take care of it.
That's the ladder.
What we have on the agenda today is, first item is public comment.
Judy.
I don't see any public comment. So we're on to the next item is, our agenda for today is to consider topics for future work sessions, as well as discussion of commission priorities and some tentative timelines. So we have in your material in front of you, under the, I think the first tab, is a listing of various subject items. I want to say to my fellow commissioners, thank you for your input. We all provided some input in terms of the subject items themselves. I worked with Judy to kind of organize them in terms of some of the subject items. If your subject is not adequately explained on this list, you can blame me, not Judy. But hopefully I've captured, or we've captured essentially what the input has been. So today, I'd kind of like to go through these 10 items to talk a little bit about what you would like to accomplish, the timelines, and a real sense of priorities. And the one thing that came through when I looked at the input you all had given us, it was pretty obvious that the number one priority here is the overall management. We call it Port of Tacoma Organization Management Design, but it's really a reflection of where we're at with our relationship with the Alliance. And we have a situation where our CEO, Mr. Wolf, is doing dual duty. And so at this stage of the game is, I think this year, we've got to figure out what is Port of Tacoma home port organization look like, and how does that relate to essentially the Alliance look like. So what you have in front of you here for the first item is really the item of how do we go about this. I kind of see the sequencing of the organization first, the CEO, if you notice the second item talks about Port of Tacoma CEO, director job description, and the search process, and then eventually what happens after the search process. So before you can get to a job description, we're going to have to figure out organizationally, functionally, what it is that home port's going to look like, and what it is that home port does versus the Alliance.
Commissioner Meyer,
yes.
If you're simply looking at structure and organization, you haven't identified what your goal is for the Port of Tacoma, which would inform your search for a director and your strategy for.
Actually, one of the thoughts I had, notice it here under the first item, is the ability to get some outside help to address the very questions you're talking about. Because you can't go into a job description until you basically have understood what the organizational from a home
what
port.
What the goals are.
Yeah, from a home port. So you, I totally concur. And what you'll find actually under the first bullet, A and B, it's actually Commissioner Johnson had kind of suggested, I thought, a pretty good concept in terms of what are we looking at? Small, minimal staff? Contract with Northwest Seaport, or is it going to be a Port of Tacoma large staff? I mean, it's a good way to kind of for us to think about the functional responsibilities that are going to be left at the home port versus the Alliance. And so this is some, I think we need some help here. We need professional help and a set of different eyes looking at this issue.
Let me, as the new person on board and who tends to like to ask some basic questions, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. And let me ask the question that I'm sure you all have some feelings about, and that is, how is it working? I have not attended Northwest Seaport Alliance meetings. You've all been involved in it. Can you just give me a little bit of insight? And I gather that it's evolved maybe in some different directions that were originally anticipated. Some things are need to be modified. Can you just give me a sense of what's working, what's not, what needs to be improved? And from my perspective, that might give me an idea of where we should be. So I'll ask the newbie question, and how is it working, and how do you see it working better?
Can I just answer you first off? I mean, I think what you're doing is taking the conversation about what we need at the Port of Tacoma in a totally different direction, which is looking at an evaluation of the Seaport Alliance.
Right.
And I don't think that's what we're about.
You're right.
So I think that a discussion about the Seaport Alliance probably should occur at another time when we meet together as the Seaport Alliance. But what we're really focusing on is...
I guess maybe I meant to ask, how is what the Seaport Alliance doing, how is that impacting the Port of Tacoma in a way that you... that looking at it just from the Port of Tacoma's perspective, is it working, is it not, in what way does it need to be modified? Maybe that's another way of asking the same question.
Yeah.
But
I guess perhaps we all have differences of opinions, but I would say that my perception is I think it's working exceptionally well on the basis of some of the concerns I had initially. But I think what we're likely to see if we don't take action on this topic in terms of Port of Tacoma, figuring out where we're going and what we're doing. We have major issues ahead of us. As an example, where is the Alliance headquarters going to be located? What, you know, we can stretch Mr. Wolf as far as we can, but the reality is that trying to manage it in a dual capacity, I think, is something that we need to make a change. We need to make a decision.
I guess I'll chime in. I agree with Commissioner Meyer on it. My version of the Seaport Alliance is it's working beyond my expectations because it had been making business decisions and hasn't gotten lost on political and all those kind of issues. For the Alliance, I think it's important to recognize that John's a busy guy, but there's huge companies like Microsoft that only have one CEO and warehouse only has one. So there's huge companies out that just dwarf the Port of Tacoma. So I think it's more of a political community issue on the separation. The main point is to finish the Alliance, we agreed that we'd form a Port of Tacoma within 5 years of the signing of the Alliance. And I think we're in year three.
Two and a half.
So it's something we have to get done this year, because I don't see, from my view, I don't see a consolidation of the Port of Tacoma into the Alliance, even though we are 75% of our business is in the Alliance. 75% of our money is in the Alliance, our cash flow is in the Alliance. But I think it's working really pretty good.
Dick.
Real quick, because I was probably the most reluctant, or at least one of them, with regards to the joining of the Seaport Alliance, but I'm very glad we did, because I do think it's working quite well. But it was mainly on the insistence of the Seattle Commission, understandably, that said, we can't have a CEO from the Port of Tacoma managing both. They wanted to do it within 6 months. We said, no way, it's got to be at least 5 years. And part of the thing that I think we got to look at is, like what Don Meyer talked about, is the fact that where do we want to see the Port of Tacoma? And in doing so, what is the properties that are in the Seaport Alliance, what is out, and what we as a, if we were a separate entity completely, not even involved with the Seaport Alliance, what would we do with what is left in the Port of Tacoma and how we move forward? And at the same time, I'm concerned with the fact that I don't want to get into a position where we hire a manager, CEO of the Port of Tacoma or something like that, that then has a, I want to fight because this is my property, this is what I want to do, at the expense of the Seaport Alliance or vice versa. There's got to be some continuity, I think, involved there.
So let me answer too. Yes, I think the benefit of the Seaport Alliance has been not only for the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle, but it has been a benefit for the entire region to look at the two ports as working together. So that's a benefit. So I think perhaps the biggest surprise was, to me, was how little there was of the Port of Tacoma's properties once you took, and it wasn't a surprise because we've always been completely focused on maritime trade. That's what the Port of Tacoma has been about. That's what its benefit has been. Focused, clear, that's what we do. But what that meant then was when you didn't have the Seaport Alliance around, I mean, when you had everything into the Seaport Alliance, that there wasn't a whole lot left for the Port of Tacoma. And that made the question of, since we'd made the agreement that there would be a transition period and that we would have a different director of what was left of the Port of Tacoma. So that made the question difficult because it's real estate, it's real estate development, it's just everything that's non-maritime, and there's not a lot of that left here.
And those of us that just went through.
And that's what this is about. Right. So then the question is there something different? How well do we as a group understand economic development? How can we continue to be successful? How can we grow into different areas, become more diverse and different as a Port of Tacoma? And to me, that's what the discussion needs to be about, right, is where we want to go.
Because just during this campaign, the three of us faced a lot of questions, yep, about industrial development, what industries, right, should be attracted, what land should be used for industries.
And that, it seems to me, is what we need to be
doing. I think it's one of the points that I agree with Clara. The big point here is, you know, you can do it several different ways. You can always have a goal planning session. You should have one without the director, should you have one with the director. But recognizing that we're very small, I think one of the issues that I have on hand is, it's not a private firm, so we have to be very cognizant of the cost. We could have 200 staffers working for the Alliance, and we could turn around over time, have 200 staffers working for the Port of Tacoma. That's only 25% of our income level. So we have to be very careful about the staff size, because it will just have a tendency to grow. So I think there's several models that could tremendously add to our cost and provide absolutely no benefit. So it's one of those things we need to keep in mind.
Okay. I guess as we're having this conversation, you know, it leads us to me to say, okay, if we're looking for a new director of the Port of Tacoma, we do not want to have a person who's an empire builder.
Well, I don't mind an empire builder if they can provide the financial returns.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can bring the business.
Yeah. But it's just one of the issues. We're not going to solve it here. It's just one of the issues that are on the table.
No, it's a discussion.
Yeah, so, but it's a good question, John.
Thank you.
In terms of what you're asking, because it's something that there was an expectation inside the Alliance that we would create a home port. And so our partnership, I think, is dependent upon us to take action on this subject. I mean, that's the feedback I'm getting from Port of Seattle commissioners. We're in the middle of our transition period, and now's the time to make that decision.
Time-wise, you're talking about taking action within the next 6 months?
Well, actually, let's talk a little bit about that, because Commissioner Petrich really to comment about, you know, where we're going and what we're doing. The way the sequence I see item number one as a top priority and to be done. I want to say, I'd like to think we could do it in 6 months. Maybe it might take longer. The second item that you have here is an outgrowth of whatever we do under one. And then I see item nine, which is a strategic plan update. You can only do that after you hire your CEO. Don't you think, in terms of sequencing?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you want to
I think you need a strategic plan, but I think you need to know what your direction is going to be before you hire.
And that has to come up in the job description. I agree with you.
That is fundamental to item one. But what I'm saying is that actually fleshing that out and being able to talk to our community on the very issues you made reference to, John, in terms of where, what are we doing with our resources? What are we, you know, where's the priority? Eventually, we'll have to update our strategic plan because it's out of date.
Yeah. One thing, Don, is I agree with you on the order. I think I always get concerned about the logistics because I think when we turn John around, you know, that because we have to coordinate all the calendars. unfortunately, this is not one of the biggest problems with the Northwest Seaboard Alliance Formation is coordinate everybody's calendar. I mean, that was one of the biggest problems, getting everybody in the room at the same time. I don't see that as, but that wasn't, has, that's never been an issue here. And so I agree with you, you ought to put a tentative timeframe together that we can discuss.
Yeah, but I see these as kind of like three different steps that have some logic to them in terms of, ultimately, you know, one of the things that I'm very interested is the whole idea about where we're going and our ability to do a credible outreach program for our community, because that's very important. That's another step in this process. So
can I ask I don't know if it's okay for Mr. Wolf to put on which hat, but, but I have a question in terms of the timing implications on what's going on with the Alliance and the Port of Tacoma in terms of this transition period and making some decisions. What's the best timing framework, that things that are going to happen that are going to be really important and they're going to happen fairly soon? Give me some concept of, from an administrative perspective on that.
Sure. Thank you for the question, Commissioner. Staff is essentially on hold with a couple of pieces of work that that the commission, the managing members, asked staff to do as it relates to the Seaport Alliance and, quite frankly, the home port of Tacoma. One is to take the next step in terms of the future location or locations for staff with regard to an administration building. And so we're at a point where we can't move that work along any further, because it will be the decisions or recommendations will be predicated on what is the functional structure of the home port of Tacoma look like versus the Seaport Alliance. Do we coexist in one location? Do we separate those locations? Those types of things. So the decisions that you all make around the future of the Port of Tacoma will help us move beyond where we are today with that piece of work. And then there are some other probably more minor things that we're pausing on until such time that we have clarity here. Things like do we have dual role into the future, or do we split the organizations? Do we continue to share services through service agreements with the home ports and the Seaport Alliance? Do we separate those services into different organizations? As a reminder, and this goes back to, I believe it was the April timeframe of last year, 2017, the staff brought forward some different ideas and a recommendation based upon those different ideas. And I have that document. It has been refreshed, and I could provide that to the five of you again if that's helpful.
That would be great. Thank you.
Please. Actually, you gave me a copy of the old one. I brought it.
That's
today,
an old, so yes. Thank you. So Commissioner McCarthy is holding on to that transition plan, and there are a few minor adjustments that we've made. So I'll get you a fresh copy. The five of you a fresh copy.
Okay.
Can I just add one more thing to that too? I mean, you identified items on hold. I think at a previous Northwest Seaport Alliance meeting that we had just a couple weeks ago, we had a discussion about some of the staff issues and the negotiation issues with employees, and we were identifying things that we weren't aware of that occur because of the Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma. And I think my experience in that particular presentation was there are probably a lot of issues that we really need to have come to the fore that our staff is aware of that we haven't put down that help us understand what's going to happen.
Well,
so I'd like to get those out on the table too.
Well, actually, Claire, I think that's one of the reasons why I would like to recommend to us is that we have someone come in and help us through this process. I think it's important to have a set of fresh eyes on this, to look at some of the very items you're talking about, so we have so we approach this with clarity, so we approach this with being transparent about what's likely to be set up, and that's something that I'd like to recommend we do. In fact, what I'd like to really do is lean on Commissioner Johnson to help us through an RFP process to select a consultant that we can go out and help us come in and look at what we're doing and to arrive at what otherwise I think is an organization chart or functional recommendation. By the way, I think the nuance here for me is, okay, so Homeport, Tacoma, you do that. What's that mean to the relationship with our alliance partner?
Exactly.
And what are the ramifications for that? And part of, in fact, John and I talked a little bit about this the other day, was how do we, you know, how do we move that forward at the same time? And I think the item that I put down on there on item E was communication needs with the alliance partner and possible charter policy changes, if in fact that's what's necessary. So I think we should approach it on the basis of getting an outside entity that's skilled in organizational management matters is a great way for us to go, because I think it's, and part of me is, it says, it's kind of unfair of expecting John to set all this up. We got to figure out which way we're going. But we can't do it in isolation. That's my only point.
I agree that having a facilitator would definitely move the conversation along.
Yeah, it would be extremely helpful.
If you're looking for agreement on that.
Right.
We used
Sue DeVance last time, remember?
Yeah.
We used Sue DeVance, remember her?
Yeah. Yeah, but that's...
That's totally different.
That's a different issue. What we need is a facilitator.
We need somebody with some management expertise. Right.
I agree. I think it's a good idea. I like the idea.
So if you don't, you all don't mind, I'd like to work with Don on this and set up a process and get this going. Because to me, this is important. Even if you go through an RFP process, that alone takes, what, 90 days, John? Or, you know, if you go through that can consume 3 months so fast it make your head swim. But
well, we had a facilitator, I don't mean to interrupt you, but when we came together with the Seaport Alliance prior to ever getting in there.
Yeah.
If you can recall, and I forget.
Well, Mercator was a...
No. It was a woman that...
Never at a retreat
Up at Snoqualmie.
Who was that? Mitch Shepherd.
Yes.
And she, just by the way, continues to work with the organization at a management level.
Okay, so that's the question, because that's a certain kind of facilitator, which I think is the kind of facilitator you need at the beginning.
Okay.
Which clarifies what your goals are.
Yeah, let me be clear. Mitch's greatest talent is around organizational culture and bringing organizations together in a stronger way. Probably less focus on
details,
management, structure. What I hear maybe you describing, unless I'm missing something here, the other strength she has, she's very familiar with the Seaport Alliance and the Homeport of Tacoma. Quite frankly, it's hard to distinguish between the two right now. It feels like all one. Yeah,
one of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to find a facilitator that knows business and understands how business is run, so they also have an opinion. So it's not just a consensus building exercise.
Yeah.
Consensus rarely leads you to the best answer. I would suggest that we put a description of what we want this consultant to do, and then pass that around to the five commissioners and see what.
Well, and that's what the two Dons are going to do.
Yeah,
and then you come back to us three.
I think
let us know what you're looking for
in the next couple 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'd like to really focus on this. I'd like to say at our next commission meeting, we could actually have this as a topic, and we could take some action on it.
When is it?
When is our next commission meeting?
I think I'm going to be out.
By the way,
Claire, we got to. Are you leaving town pretty soon?
I'm gone the 7th to the 21st.
Are you back for our commission meeting?
I'm back for the
February
commission meeting, yes.
And you're back then. Our commission meeting in February, second, Port of Tacoma commission meeting?
15th.
then I'm not.
That's, well, we'll do it for Mark.
But I'll just, we'll make sure we get you a copy of the email first.
Okay.
You gonna take your computer with you?
What did you just say date wise?
She said the 15th.
It's the week of the 20th. It's the Port of Tacoma Commission meeting, correct?
Is it 22nd?
Oh, I'm sorry, it is the 22nd.
Right.
22nd.
Oh, okay, everybody's back. So we could have this on the agenda.
That's what I thought.
Dawn and I could work on that. I'd really prefer that because otherwise that'll be the end of March if we don't take some action in February.
And this is just a description of what we want.
This is just a description of what we want to do through an RFP process.
After that, we go out and look for the person.
Yes, yes. But I want to make certain we're, all five of us buy into the process.
Sure.
Okay?
No, I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Very good. So we're going to go down to, unless somebody has a comment on item two, I'm just going to pass over that.
Item one, I need a little bit of clarity on what you've got here.
Actually.
You're saying you want to know whether the commission wants a small or large staff?
Actually, I think what it is A and B were comments that, actually Commissioner Johnson suggested. I thought it was a great, what it is just view them kind of conceptually.
Yeah, all I did there, when I put that together, I just said, the organization of the Port of Tacoma. And then I just put down some bullets on what some of the topics might be underneath that. You know, so we understood the size of the discussion that we're going to have.
Ultimately, we'll be talking about those issues. I will guarantee it.
And then I went down to the job description and the long-range economic plans. And I put the financials down because even though we did mention how small the Port of Tacoma was, we have to decide who's going to be responsible financially for a $1.3 billion port and $625 million in debt.
Is that what you meant by financial issues in terms of that reference?
Yeah, because who's accountable for that?
Oh, I see, because I couldn't figure out, okay.
What you were talking about.
Okay, yeah, so that really is.
I just put down some of the, some bullets to create some thought processes. But I would suggest that on number one, that's talking about what we want to do, the organization, if it's big or small, what's it going to look like. We need to put a timeframe together like that so we're through by the end of the year.
Wouldn't a part of that come out of that when you do hire a facilitator or something based on the input and everything that all of us give?
I would.
A lot of that information would.
Yeah, I would think so, but I think it's important for us to realize this is not a, when I did this, I wasn't sure whether the tasks would come up. And I was surprised by the effort it took for us to get the last big thing done here because it is time consuming.
The last big thing, you mean hiring?
Hiring CEO.
And then the strategic plan took time.
Hiring a CEO.
Hiring a CEO.
You know, you always like to start off with.
We did an international process.
Right.
And we.
Yeah, so, you know, a tentative timeframe, we just kind of, Don, you could do that, say, hey, between now and June, we're going to get this done, between June.
I'm hoping that we can get this item one, I'd like to target for June and knowing how things go, usually if you target. And hopefully, I just feel an obligation here to the process. We've got to finish this, try to finish it in the first half, if not by July or August, no later than that, because by that time.
How about if I put a time schedule together for item number one?
Well, what I'd like to do is, yeah, I would like that. That would be great.
Just in looking at the transition update from April of 2017, and we're almost April of 2018 in a few months, so, and looking at the 2017 priorities, and I know there are a lot of reasons why those were set aside. We had new people coming on board, et cetera, at both ports, but yeah, time's gonna fly. But that's a good starting point anyway, that transition update in terms of things you want to add to the time frame.
Could you just pass that down for a second? I'll just pass it right back.
We need a Gantt chart.
Yeah, I tell you, what would be nice is we also have a responsibility to communicate to staff in terms of our timelines.
It's probably what we're doing.
Yeah, what we're doing, where we're going. And so I think, Mr. Johnson, you're right on. In fact, I think that's something we should come back relative to the RFP process is to also have that timeline associated with it. So I agree.
It gives us a general
so,
guideline.
So Claire, does that answer some of your questions relative to what those first two items might mean? Okay, as far as I'm concerned, I'm moving down to item three. I'm passing over two, I'm going to go to three, which is long-range Port of Tacoma Economic Image Program. I can't remember, who suggested that? And I didn't know, what's the context, Don? Because I couldn't quite understand.
I think, you know, it's our 100th anniversary, and we've had all kinds of issues. And we talked about being the economic engine for Pierce County, and really the Northwest Seaport Alliance is a major economic engine for the state of Washington. I think it might be in our best interest to say, well, let's work on that. Let's work on that message and hire some people to give us a long-term message, not be, you know, be willing to pay for that message, but have it out there for 4 or 5 years where it's a constant. So we make more people in our region have better understanding of what our economic power is and the value of the port as a whole to the region.
So are you talking about this as a PR campaign?
Yes.
And you're talking about it for the Port of Tacoma or for the Seaport Alliance?
Port of Tacoma.
So that's very different from the impact of the Seaport Alliance.
Yes, it is.
So since the Port of Tacoma hasn't been operating as it will be operating over the next couple of years, it's hard to go backwards. It's like our centennial is acknowledging the history of 100 years.
From people in my district or my area, they're not going to understand the difference between Northwest Seaport Alliance and the Port of Tacoma. They see the Port of Tacoma down there. Mm-hmm. So I think we can always provide that message, that message, that message, that message, and we can talk about the whole thing.
Actually, Don, I'm glad you put this on here, because one of the things that I have a strong feeling about, and it isn't so much just on the economics, it's the community outreach effort. You know what I'm saying? It isn't just to say how great we are, but the value piece there and our willingness to go into the community in a sustained way and in a very strategic way. So I view this as kind of an outgrowth, probably after we have our CEO mm-hmm. in place.
Yeah, I look at it as a requirement of defining what you want from a CEO.
Yeah, I don't see it. It's I didn't see it as a number one item. I just saw it as part of the list.
I see a need. Mm-hmm. I see a need, and it isn't just economic terms, that's all.
No, but I also, and I agree with it, I just think that it's very difficult to talk to the community, let's say you're out in Parkland, whatever the case may be, and talk about a separation of here's what the Port of Tacoma is, without involving the Northwest Seaport Alliance. Because the fact that you can't.
They don't care.
It's got to be a talking point that talks about the port in its entirety.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Because people drive by the port, they'll see a crane coming up, and if you say, no, that's not the Port of Tacoma, that's Northwest. Wait a minute, it's right in the Port of Tacoma.
In fact, that's supposed to happen in the next couple of months, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Real soon. It's in the water. They're on their way.
Dick, I think you're right on. One of the difficulties I think we have is that on the one hand, we want to talk about our home port, but the reality is people still want to know what's the overall port doing. When you've got a piece of your business associated with the Alliance, they still want to know how well you're doing. What are you doing in our community?
Yeah, you want to stress the whole thing.
But that's kind of the nuances we're going to have to deal with, and that's why it's important we have the ability to talk about the home port.
Well, during the election and during the issues this last year, people said, I didn't know, and yet we've always followed the letter of the law. We've always had ample notification of our meetings. We've always passed all those things, and nobody has an obligation to remember anything. But it's true, those statements were wrong. And so I think we just need to just put a general business practice together and just keep that going long term, and not just have a 6 month hit. Be prepared to do it for the long haul.
But this subject matter is not just a business plan, Don. I see it as a community.
Everything.
Okay.
Very good. But also I would see it as part of, just bring clarity here, it's part of the CEO.
Yes, I agree.
Effort.
It's down the road.
So it's down the road, folks. Okay?
Well, it's part of what you're defining for what you want for the Port of Tacoma.
Yes. Okay. Any other conversation on that item?
That
brings a little clarity to it. On the financial issues now, that really relates to what we talked about earlier. Yeah. So that's
just not, understands
just
our
understanding.
Financial issues,
that's really, really part of the functional responsibilities.
I think number that's three here says CEO cooperation, major outcomes. Now, I'm assuming that you're talking here about looking at the challenges that occur.
Oh, yes. This is a poor business model under business models, no
correct.
Matter what it is. So how do we ensure that the we say that they're going to cooperate, but cooperation is best done when there's only one person involved. but we have three CEOs or two CEOs and a director, whatever we call the new person,
How do we ensure that? Because then again, that becomes primarily our responsibility to make sure that happens as a commission. But it's an issue we have down here.
I think it's the key issue.
I do too. We don't want to compete against ourselves.
That's what I think the conversation needs to be about with the facilitator, et cetera.
That actually probably is our biggest.
Yeah.
Biggest
That's
need,
the issue.
To be honest.
Well,
if you look at the implementation piece of it and you bring in another body, another
correct.
Person, that's always, that just means more coordination.
Well, you can solve that problem with a motherhood and apple pie comment. Yeah. The reality is, how do I get that done?
Yeah, that's right.
And you can talk about it forever, but it's key to the kind of person that you hire for the job, I think. And I put the financials down there just so we wouldn't forget. So that person, whoever is going to, we have to assign that responsibility to somebody. It's either going to go with the Northwest Seaport Alliance and in that process, or it's going to go with the Puerto Rico, which we don't have to talk about now. I just want to make sure we didn't forget those.
But I think it's an important, especially on the debt management, the reality is the home ports have that as a responsibility.
That's right.
So that has ramifications,
which
to me.
Which creates a situation when you have, let's say, 25% of the Puerto Rico is left over. You hire a director for that. If that director has responsibility for a $1.3 billion port and $625 million of debt, that's a much bigger job than the real estate situation.
Well,
so that's why.
Yeah, that's why it's there.
Well,
you can't just hire anybody.
Well, yeah, because ultimately, this CEO of the home port is going to have to be making presentations to the bond rating agencies.
Yeah, unless you hire that, but you have the option. Being small and hiring that from the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
Or both of them going. So anyway.
That drives your costs up.
Yeah, I know, but that's part of the issue that has to be sorted out, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments on the financial issues? Because that's going to be subsumed within the structure of the CEO responsibilities, hopefully.
Well, that's identification for that, and that's what's important. I mean, even when we talk, when this document talks about a rewards program, you know, that's part of a financial program. That's part of the issues that they have as far as having clarity about what belongs where and
good.
How you do it.
Good. Agree. Okay, I'm moving on into a favorite topic of ours, sub-area planning and the ILA. That's still in front of us and trying to work through that. I guess I'm open to any comments.
Sure, I guess I ask that we talk about that because I haven't been part of the port conversation, internal port conversation as to the direction that we're going with the sub-area plan. As I understand it, the county passed a resolution so that the county would be involved, and as I understand it, that decision by the county will require the city to approve a structure that would include county, and so that's where we're at, and it's already the first part of February. Mayor Strickland, of course, convened the sub-area planning meeting back in December, so I'm not sure what Mayor Woodard's planned schedule is of discussion of that. But I wanted to talk about this to kind of bring myself up to speed as to the port's internal thinking and what direction we're going with that, because I look at it from the sense of the end product, and I'm still trying to get my hands around what the end product of the work of this group will be. If the end product is a recommendation to the Planning Commission, which will make a recommendation to the City Council, and we've just seen, you know, in the last 3 or 4 months, we've seen recommendations to the Planning Commission being amended, discussed at length, and then their decisions being amended and discussed at length. I'm not sure that same process is particularly satisfying in terms of getting the group of people together that are supposed to talk about these broad issues, nor do I see us spending $1 million or 1.35 for a ultimate recommendation to the Planning Commission. And so I'm kind of curious as to what the internal thinking of the port would be. My preference would be that going in to these discussions that the group would have more authority than merely that of a recommendation, because I think we just end up back where we were back last fall. So that, I wanted to talk about what the, what should be part of the interlocal agreement that would satisfy an end result that the port at least wants to be assured that it's being heard. So, and I don't know what the thinking on that is, but.
Well.
That's why I wanted to bring it up. I think we need to talk about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate you bringing this topic up, number one. Number two, I think, I hope in your orientation, and John helped me on this, I thought at one time there was a staff memo that outlined kind of the principles
there,
of
there what, is.
We were, what we were looking at. So I want to make certain John gets a copy of that.
I have seen
that. Okay.
Have
seen but that. Let me talk, though, right. on a couple of things that you made reference to. In terms of working with the mayor and the tribe, there is a meeting. I don't have my schedule in front of me, but actually it's a follow-up to try to bring it to a conclusion of bringing the county in as a signatory to an ILA. That's still the majority, that was our position as a commission, and I'm still going to try to work to make that happen.
Say that again.
The county right now
right.
is not a
sure.
I don't know. Maybe I mischaracterize it. Right now, there's a question as to whether or not the county should be a part of the ILA.
But there's not a question whether the commission of that.
The commission has yeah. insisted on that, right. and so I there's a meeting been set up to follow up. It's next week, right? February 9th. So there's a follow-up that's happening to try to bring that to a conclusion right. somehow, okay? And I think we have an opportunity here working with the new mayor, as well as the tribe, trying to work right. through that issue. I don't want to say it's going to be easy, but nonetheless, we're trying to get agreement around the ILA and who would be signatories to that, as well as who would contribute and what kind of a budget we would have. That to me is
and my concern is it's a stacked deck already, and if we don't bring the county in, it's even worse. The city can do as it doesn't need anybody. It can do as it sees fit. It has a right to do that. Although its charter requires us to support the port, so. If we don't get the county, then I got to, from my perspective, once we get down where we're actually going to talk about an ILA, I got to say, well, what do I gain for $500,000 or $1 million? That's worthwhile yeah. spending the money anyway. If it's going to turn out looking like this at the end of the day, then why spend right. any money?
And from my perspective, I think a fundamental part is replacing the normal planning commission process with whatever consensus or agreements reached within this leadership group.
Who votes?
Yeah. And John, well, I just real quickly, because I was always under the assumption, still am, in the fact that if we're going to contribute $500,000 along with all the time, I'm not saying we eliminate port staff, I mean the city's planning commission whatsoever. I'm not saying that. But I was under the assumption that the four entities would be the deciding factor of what right. the sub-area plan and what we would be looking
at. That's key, I would think, yeah. whenever this group
that's
is going to spend all its resource and time. And
yeah. But that's not the truth.
Yeah,
that's not a fact.
The city can do it as it sees fit.
Could I?
Unless we get an agreement to do elsewhere, and you have the imbalance of money. You got a $500,000. I got a $500,000. You got $200,000. You got $100,000.
So I think the most important thing beyond who's in terms of the
right.
ILA, the very item, John, that you've alluded to, and I think Claire emphasized, is the whole decision making process. And the initial conversation I had with the mayor was, tell us what your normal process is, and then put right next to it what this process is going to be, so we can understand better what we're buying into, and speaking to, well, what role is the Planning Commission versus what role this body would play.
Just what, rather than a tell us, I would think it's more a here's what we're agreeable to as an appropriate process. I don't think we can let them dictate the process necessarily.
Not pay $500,000 for it.
No, I think.
Can I ask Ralph that question? I mean, as far as just from a legal perspective of the way sub-area plans work, of the way, what's the responsibility of the city versus the landowners?
So that's not something I'm familiar with.
Okay.
So that's probably Carolyn.
Okay.
They will answer that, so we'll get back to you on that.
Okay, thanks.
But
I think that's the key there.
It's an issue that's got life in itself.
It's really important. If you're going to spend $500,000, you'd like to know what you're buying into.
Right.
That's basically the message. And I hear that loud and clear. And it's an item that I want to talk about very much up front, because I think it's important to the process. So I hear you, and I'll see what we can do. But at this stage of the game, I'd like to know where the city's at in terms of its thinking. And that will help us hopefully clarify where we're at.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, beyond that, we still have some work to do. I'm happy, though, that the mayor has scheduled in this meeting to move this issue forward. I feel a real need to get organized, and I'm treating it as a priority in terms of where we need to go.
So I have a question.
Why?
Because
I want to make certain on sub-area planning, there's a lot of concern about where we're going and what we're doing. And I view this as an opportunity. I do. I really do. Because there's issues out there in our community that we need to take action on. Yes, Claire.
So what's on our agenda today is a discussion about the future of the Port of Tacoma. And I think the sub-area plan is part of how we look at the future of the Port of Tacoma. So if there's a sub-area plan, it includes the properties in the tide flats. Who is it an issue for if we had a CEO at the Port of Tacoma? Would we have the Northwest Seaport Alliance director participating, or staff participating in the sub-area discussion? Would we have the Port of Tacoma director only, or some staff there participating in that conversation? I'm asking this question not as a question for sub-area plan, but to me it's indicative of what the conversation about our future.
I think that ought to be listed. We can't answer that now because
Of course we can't.
You could be land that means nothing, or it could involve container business.
But to me, that's what the issue is around the future of the Port of Tacoma.
And it could be both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good questions, Claire.
No answer.
Well, but I think it points up to the practical realities of
that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, well, this whole subject matter is, in terms of the future of the Port of Tacoma and our tide flats, that's an important subject.
Huge. For both.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
A good conversation, a good dialogue with all these people is just going to be so beneficial to all of us. So, I mean, I'm real positive about where this could go. But obviously very important that the ILA and the principles are set up going in so we know what potentially could come out and how it's going to flow.
Okay. Any other comments on that topic? Okay.
No, anxious to hear the reports back from meeting.
Yeah, I'll report back to you all. Okay. Next item, Port of Tacoma public meeting times. A couple of us put this subject on this agenda, and I would like for us to consider looking at a 5 o'clock public hearing or public meeting time rather than at noon.
And would you go ahead and talk about the reasoning behind it?
One of the perceptions, whether it's right or wrong, is I've heard repeatedly coming recently off the campaign trail about availability of this body for citizens. And my experience when I first came to the Port of Tacoma, we had 5 o'clock meetings.
I thought they were 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock.
I think they were five.
I think they were four.
Were they four? Yeah. Well, they were afternoon, I guess.
Yes, they were.
Tell you that. Maybe we should check.
Well, I was there and I don't remember what time I think they were four. For some reason, I always think they were four.
Okay, well.
We changed it.
That lasted until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Many times.
Yeah. Well, I think we should. I would like for this body to consider changing the meeting times, whether it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I'm not hung up one way or another. But I think the ability for citizens to participate, I'd like to see us try it for this year and see how it works out.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Have you thought about every other month?
Well, I don't know about that because, Dick, one of the things is that is it this month that they meet or is it next month? I don't know. I don't know what the rest of the body feels about that. I'm just want to have a little more discipline to try it out, and that's what was my real motivation.
We met at noon for, I've been here 10 years, and we've had midday meetings, and not a soul out there. The only time people start to show is on the anti-hydrocarbon issue, and I see no reason to change, because the anti-hydrocarbon issue has been addressed.
I think perception is everything at this point, and I think we've just coming off the election cycle and being out there with 30 different community groups, I think it's a good opportunity to try, even though, and I remember when I was on the commission previously, it worked or it didn't work, but the perception was probably very important. So I mean, I'm willing to try it for a period of time just to see, and I don't think attendance is the sole criteria. It's just the availability, the perception of availability is very important. So I'm willing to try it for a year's time if the body feels that's appropriate.
Should we set what the criteria is?
Should we what?
What is the criteria for when we choose to have our meetings? Is it the participation? Is it?
What if?
I don't disagree. Well, I understand why coming off the campaign trail.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, okay, so if we see that there's more or less people able to come and showing up at 5 o'clock, if that's what the criteria is, then we should know. We should have something that we're evaluating it by.
Well, we track attendance, don't we? I mean, don't we track attendance, Judy? Do we ever track attendance?
I can count right now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We don't actually. It would be fairly simple to do.
Yeah.
Well, you got to separate staff.
Yeah.
Because we've got an awful lot of staff people.
And we're talking about public participation.
I agree with John in a sense of saying I don't want to commit to a full year simply because of a couple reasons. One, I don't know if we'd get the response we seem to think we'd get from the people that have said you got to change the meetings. And also, I think it's going to be very taxing on the staff. You're talking about a staff that's going to be here all day from 8 o'clock in the morning or whatever else it is, and then from 5 o'clock on. So I look at that, too, and think, you know, so at the end of the day, I want to say, is it beneficial? And are we seeing a bigger influx of people coming in? Then, yeah, maybe we should do that. But those are the only reasons I say I wouldn't want to commit to a year. I'd rather see it try us for 6 months, whatever, something like that, see what's happening.
How about 4 o'clock in 6 months?
Well, then I have a question on what day it is then. Because we'll be changing our schedules around also. Is it on Thursdays once a month, or are we still committed to Thursday?
Yeah, I
don't want to.
I have a problem. I have a problem with Thursday until April.
Well, this is just a list of topics. We can discuss it later.
Yeah. Well, okay. But the idea is to get some kind of feedback here.
Well, I'm just giving feedback that if in fact it is the will of the group to change the meeting to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
I just have a problem with that until April.
Until April.
Correct.
So April we could change
on Thursday nights.
We could try a 6 month period of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a 5 o'clock start?
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Yeah.
4 o'clock?
I don't know that.
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 12 o'clock, because they're working 8 to 5.
Yeah, I'd say 5 o'clock.
You'd say 5?
Yeah, if you're going to go.
If you're going to go to it. Yeah. Okay, 5. Try it 6 months starting in April.
And I'd love to know that we're clear that one of the reasons we're doing this is we'd like to see more community involvement and that we will be tracking it to see if there is a difference.
Yeah, I think that's great. Right on, Claire, good comments. Any other comments on that? If none, community investment program, decision-making process. One of the things that I was really happy to see, by the way, community investment program, how long have we had that? I think it actually started many years ago. I can't even tell you how many years ago, but basically it's our opportunity to take a certain portion of funds at the Port of Tacoma and look at various proposals coming from our community. And at for a long time, that investment program was at $35,000, and this year we changed it to $250,000. Am I correct on that? Am I correct on that?
I will tell you, I just got a briefing on it this morning, and that's correct.
That's correct. Okay, I just want to make certain.
Thank you.
But I think
we haven't really had a conversation since the change about what the criteria is for the program. I know that there are applications flowing in right now.
Yes.
And has so. What's our goal since we're spending a lot more money?
I think you know. First of all, I'm proud that we went to $250,000.
Me too.
Second thing is I think, by and large, this whole program is pretty much a staff-driven process. And I'm not saying that's bad, but what I really think a couple of commissioners should sit down and spend a little time on, is that the right criteria as we look at today in terms of the $250,000? And do we have the right process in terms of a staff-driven process versus maybe a commissioner-involved process? I realize we are communicated with in terms of the decisions and asking for input, but I think this is as a minimum, we should be reviewing the criteria that's out there. And I'd like to see a couple of commissioners like Claire Petrich and Commissioner McCarthy to look at this program, come forward and say, yes, it's exactly what we want, no changes, or look at it and say, I'd suggest these changes for this body and try to do this in the next, by June 1 or so.
So, because I had a couple of questions on the check certification, the staff was kind enough to schedule a brief briefing with me this morning and gave me some materials on the current criteria and just started to look at that. So I'm more than happy to report back to you after conferring.
Sure, let's have a conversation.
Claire, perhaps some
suggestions. Are you willing to do that? That way, okay, yeah. Great.
Well, I think the point is a good point, is that just, once again, three of us just having been on the campaign trail, we know what's going on out there in the community. We're kind of the face of the port within the community. So for the port to be involved in some part of the process, the commission to be involved in some part of that decision process or criteria, I think is a good thing ultimately.
I agree.
Yeah, two quick things, because I think we all need to get an update about what the criteria is right now as you two guys move forward. But because we already have, you mentioned the time frame of when you're going to look at, but I don't know if, you know, we have people right now and organizations sending in requests based on the criteria right now, so.
Well, I don't, I think at this stage of the game, I'll let Commissioner Petrich and McCarthy look at it.
Is it now a two-time a year, three-time a year?
The applications were due February 2nd. Yeah. So I just this morning received a list of maybe it's those that received it last year. I don't think I have a list of those that applied, but it's happening right now anyway, yeah. Right?
Well, I guess it's appropriate to review it.
Yeah, let's do it.
And maybe my June 1st date is a little too late.
Well, it because, is for this round.
Yeah, it is for this
you
round. But maybe this,
June.
Yeah. But
time moves forever.
Yeah. But the point is, let's just refresh this program, okay? And if you have any recommendations, come forward with them, and we'd be happy whether it takes you 30 days or 60 days. I guess I'll give you a little leeway there.
Okay.
Do you mind?
No, it's good.
Okay. And Judy, you got those names down? Yeah, good. okay, Port of Tacoma office space strategy headquarters located. Fantastic topic. I don't know, you know, in terms of the Port of Tacoma office space strategy, the headquarters location, I think, was a reference to the Alliance. But somewhere along the line, and maybe this is one of those topics that comes out of our after we have our CEO in place, I guess one of the concerns I have is I've felt for a very long time that the current office building where the Port of Tacoma is housed is in the wrong location. I'd hate to see us spend a lot of money on it, but I think that there has to be a whole discussion topic of the role of the Port of Tacoma with regards to office space.
It depends on how big you are.
Excuse me?
Depends on how big you are also,
yeah,
on the space you need.
And so maybe this is a topic that should wait until our CEO, you know, the Homeport CEO is in place. But I feel a real need to say, this is a topic that we need to figure out where we're going, what role it plays. I see it as probably relating to even this office building or the location of the Port of Como office on the Foss Waterway property. I just think we need to have a conversation about where we're going and how effective we are on this. Now, I realize this may get a little sensitive in terms of, is this a topic for executive session or not, but I'm just concerned about that. Okay?
And during that conversation, it'd be nice to set some kind of a goal or a time frame, because I think it's the longer we wait, the more expensive everything's going to be, and the fact is that we're going to have to, I don't want to be caught into a position where now we got to make a decision of investing a lot of money in what we where they presently are, or in this facility or something else. So I'd rather see us set up something that says, okay, this is what we're looking for, and this is when we're going to try to achieve that.
And we need to remember that we're now located in a building that I suspect is paid for, so we're going to pick up a bill somewhere. And so, again, I'll go back to some of our long-term capital plans. We need to make sure we invest in things that have a return and watch how much money we spend that has no return, because then we don't have the capital left to invest in the key projects that really run the Port of Tacoma.
You know, kind of an ancillary issue to the port building and is the overpass highway on 11th Street over the Puyallup River down there, which is closed off. I don't know what the long-term plan of that is, and might depend on whether the port office building stays there or not. But I do know, it seems to me, I've seen in some recent things that there was a study sought or commissioned on the effective use of that to study whether that's a good mechanism for cargo, another way to get over the Puyallup River as opposed to the cost of it as a transportation piece. What's going on with that?
A study has commenced. I need to get an update, quite frankly, and it's broader than just that bridge. It's looking at whether there, if that bridge is a viable option or not. Are there other options, second crossing over the Puyallup River, widening the Lincoln Avenue Bridge? So they're looking at it in a broader sense than just that specific road, yet including that road and that bridge.
That was with the city too, wasn't it, John?
Yeah, it's in partnership with the city, and so we were a funding partner. I believe the city, in fact, I know the city is leading that effort. And the reason for that is that the city owns that infrastructure, therefore has ultimate responsibility for that infrastructure. And certainly they look to partner with the port, and we agreed to partner with them on the study.
What's interesting about the question you raise, John, is under the tribal settlement agreement, I can tell you that bridge and that whole viaduct that's across the terminal is intended to go out, to be removed, banned.
As part of the
settlement? It was part, the concept was, is that you would improve Lincoln. The whole idea was that's where your overpass is, and because you're interfering with the terminal area.
I didn't remember that.
I thought it was the Blair Bridge.
No, it was Blair Bridge also, but the whole idea was to take 11th Street and abandoned those so that you had more of a kind of a, I'll call it north-south, it's not a true north-south, and you created these peninsulas, because at that time, the whole idea was that'd be an international terminal, and you wanted the ability to add terminal space on the other side of what otherwise was a limitation in terms of 11th Street. So I'm just saying, but I still think it's a very good question, because every time I turn off of Portland Avenue onto Lincoln, I'm thinking how inadequate that whole thing is, because that was always intended to be a major access point off of Portland.
So it's kind of a balancing of the use of that facility restricted by an overpass versus having another way to get over the Puyallup River into terminals in that area, and the balancing of that and the cost.
Yes.
And
yes.
Of course, that used to be the state highway, and that state paid for it all until they built a new 509. And
And that's why in the analysis in terms of the city and the responsibility they had for taking over the road was, well, if you remove it, they don't have any cost for maintenance. And that was one of the, but that's then, this is now. So what we need to do is refresh what works better for the terminals, because we've got a different situation today.
And our admin building is in the middle of what we think is going to change on the terminal.
Yeah, I mean, that's terminal space to me.
Timing is the question.
It's whether it's now or 20 years from now.
Yeah, so that's the reason this is on there. I'm a little bit hesitant to say, spending a lot of time on that, considering we've got the sub-area planning process. We've got to sort out our issues with regards to item number one, which is the organization. I think we have enough on our agenda, and maybe this is one of those things that should defer, and probably will defer into next year.
It's always nice to have a to-do list.
Yeah, so I'm going to put that next year. And by that time, we'll have clarity around our organizational structure, which would then drive, some of the issues, Commissioner Johnson, you've been talking about.
Commissioner Meyer, if I may just add to that conversation, I hear the decision to defer. You've highlighted there are some more immediate needs to preserve the admin building where it is, just so that it remains functional, and so we will continue to manage that as best we can, knowing that there's a high likelihood that will not be our permanent long-term location for the Homeport Tacoma and the Seaport Alliance, because it has a higher and better long-term use. The sooner that we can get clarity on where we're going with the Homeport office and the Seaport Alliance office, the better it is for us in terms of managing those issues, because we are carrying some risk that we have major failures in that building that would require more than a few dollars.
John, could I ask in that context then, I have a tendency to view the Port of Tacoma office building decision separate from the Alliance headquarters decision. Or am I wrong? I mean,
The thinking by staff has been that you all need to make a decision, going back to the earlier conversation about functional structure for the Homeport and the Seaport Alliance. And that will drive the decision about office space and office space need. So until that decision is made, it is most difficult for us to make some decisions about what type, where we should look at office space, because we don't know what the needs are, because we haven't decided on the functional structure of the two organizations.
So, but the reality then is that this is a subsequent action after we complete item one.
Exactly. Okay. So the sooner we make the decision about item one, the sooner we can make a decision about the headquarter office.
So that becomes part of our Gantt chart in terms of tasks. Okay.
Okay. In the meantime, just know that staff is doing its best to manage the expenditures associated with maintaining that building, and we are running risk that we could have some major failures in that building that would require of us to come back and ask for funding to...
We talk about HVAC.
Yes, things of that nature, roof repairs, HVAC, some major improvements. That is also true with this building. And so again, we've talked about some different concepts where we might choose to repurpose this property to a different type of use and shift our commercial office space focus to whether it be the property on the Foss Waterway or other locations. All of that is predicated on decisions that you make about functional structure. So we're on hold with that whole conversation until such time that decision is made.
And John, in that context, because I'd like to think that as you make that decision, it's based upon facts. Do we have a good condition survey of this building as well as our building?
Yes, we do.
We do.
You've got a good... And we are deferring maintenance in some areas that are big ticket items, because we want to preserve the option to look at a different purpose, a different use for this property.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the things I think we looked at too is the property on the Foss of, okay, how much space do we need? Are there other people that can come in and rent that facility? And I think that needs to be really looked into as far as that goes.
Now, in addition to all of that discussion, where we are still moving forward, or plan to move forward, is that we're working through some final details around the existing tenants over on the property on the Foss Waterway, the Port-owned property. And those are coming to conclusion in a good way, and that we would then recommend going out with an RFP to the marketplace for a development concept and ultimately a development partner on that property. And we're assuming right now that a portion of that development would include office space that preserves the option for the Home Port of Tacoma to have office space in that facility.
Good, sounds like a good strategy. So that would, the timing on that, John, then, would be what? This year, certainly.
First half of this year is the expectation. I'm hopeful that we could be back in front of the Port of Tacoma Commission with a request for an RFP on that property spring timeframe.
Okay, so basically on or before June 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
That's actually, I don't want to talk specifically about what the property is, but I assume we would, whoever's utilizing the property now, there would be some sort of a plan of accommodation or something, availability of other land or something.
Yes, and that's what I was referring to, Commissioner McCarthy, that today we're tackling those issues to make sure that we respond to the existing customer needs. And that's coming together in a real nice way.
Okay, any other comments on that section or that idea or that concept? That's an important one, and I always like the idea, based upon Don's comment, is finding ways to pay for office space, which is all overhead.
Well, we don't have to use capital.
No. There's different ways to approach that. So not only are we talking about building something, but what Dick was referring to is tenants and as well as the financing. There's different financing models out there. Okay.
Like you say, it's always nice to have a free building.
Okay. We already talked about strategic plan update, which is a secondary action with regards to the CEO and organizational stuff. And the last item on our agenda here is called economic development, port's role, and RCW allowed activities. And I can tell you, I know who suggested that.
Oh, yeah, well.
Looking right at Claire. And actually, I think it's a great thing that would normally be part of a strategic plan update. Wouldn't that be really a part of it? Or do you view that as a separate topic that we could take up as a work session topic, just to be familiar with it?
I think it's the topic that informs our discussion of the CEO of the Port of Tacoma.
Oh. So.
And we have already received from Caroline. We just have to dig back and look at it again. Exactly what is allowed according to the RC.
Yeah,
we all have that.
You'll
get a copy of that, I'm sure.
What topic? I'm not sure.
Economic development, the RC.
We're on item 10.
Right, I saw that, but I'm not sure I'm tracking what the conversations.
Oh, so the conversation as it relates to the new CEO of the Port of Tacoma is that if we have property development, we have, a 20% use of the lands that we have. So we need to look at exactly how economic development is structured for ports in Washington State. We can do, what we can't do.
Do I have that memo, or you might not?
I'll make sure that all five of you get a copy of it.
And so that's what we need to look at moving forward.
And John, just every time I see this, usually it's a question of what role does the port play relative to tourism, as an example.
Can be.
As an example.
Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So I'm just saying, that's the, ports are, I think, allowed of the RCWs to be a part of.
Well, there's a lot of hotels popping up in ports.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, that's the sorts of issues that I've heard from our community. I'm not saying that's the only one, but that's one of them. So.
I'm kidding.
Claire, how do you want to, how are you, so we give John the memo to talk about the port's role, and I guess what you're saying is.
I think it becomes part of the strategic planning process.
Okay, so this is really strategic planning.
And strategic planning in relation to the future of the Port of Tacoma.
Yeah.
I think it also needs to be, the definition there needs to be in the CEO hut also.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you call the new person.
Yeah. Okay, so we've now reached the end of our list of 10. We've made some assignments. Any other topics that we haven't talked about that you would like to talk about? We're getting real close because our target was to adjourn at 11.
Okay.
I think when I show the Gantt chart, it'll limit the number.
Well, it'll also kind of give us a better time frame. Well, it will give us a time frame in terms of what we want to shoot for, task as well as time frame.
I think this puts a lot on our plate where we don't need number 11 or 12 myself.
Yeah, no, I agree with that totally. So at this stage of the game, are there any other items? And I guess, Judy, what I'd like to do is maybe resort this and then share this back to all of us in terms of what some of the decisions and the assignments we talked about. Would that be possible? Thank you. Any other comments by the commissioner?
No, but thank you for the the book too, because it'll mean that we can keep things like these memos all in one place.
Yeah, I wish it was a lot smaller.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah,
I think it's gonna get.
Yeah,
better. I think it's gonna get too. Thanks for having this conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank well, you. It's important. I think it was. It's important for those of us that have been here for a while, and for you, John, coming back into the. If I had a frustration, it's a frustration that oftentimes we don't have enough time to sit down and just talk about issues and our ability to take that time. And so this is part of it. I do plan on, to the extent it works out, is having a few more work sessions. And, I see a need for that. And so going forward, I'm confident we'll have a great year. So, any other comments? If not, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Made you love.